Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sundays, a day meant for family time. Some grocery shopping, perhaps. On second thought, football. Just football.
Roethlisberger looks, crosser, Brown, he caught it, fights to the goal line, breaks the plane! Touchdown, Pittsburgh!
It's time for Chicago's Fantasy Football Today with Joe Ostrowski.
His weapons on offense are his running backs. And where you go from there, I have no idea.
And Jack Thomason.
He's my new Christine Michael, my new Binky for the Seattle Seahawks running backs.
Season-long and daily fantasy football discussion all in one show.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Leave the math to the pros. These guys will help you construct the perfect lineup.
I like where this is going.
You're listening to Chicago's Fantasy Football Today on 670 The Score, presented by Great Clips. It's gonna be great.
Double digit weeks already? Week 10, we are here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. Good morning, folks. Joe Ostrowski, Jack Thompson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Joe.
Man, we're
you
past
ready?
The
it's
midway mark. We're way past the halfway mark of the fantasy football season before we know it. Thanksgiving's here. The final stretch of the season. My God, where's it gone?
Yeah, I know. I cannot believe that we're already talking about Thanksgiving here in just a week and a half.
Oh, that day's fun. Daily fantasy, those three games.
Oh, right?
Getting every turn.
Cash money, baby.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. If you want to check in on the show, phone lines are open. Any fantasy football questions, a player you want to talk about, possibly a trade question. I think some leagues are trade deadline already passed. It's way too early.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the earliest it really should be is week 11 kickoff.
Your former co-host on 670thescore.com before we started this show, Adam Harris, I was helping him out with a trade earlier this week, and it was funny because he loaded up on running backs. I know people don't care. This is just a lesson, okay? It's just a fantasy football lesson. Not that people care about Adam's team. I'm just giving an example. He lost David Johnson right away to start the year. So he was hitting the waiver wire hard every single week, and he collected himself a nice group of running backs. But he really wanted to go get a stud receiver. And I just said, you know, just go back to the roots. What do we always talk about? Buy low, sell high. Buy low, sell high. So he gave me a list of running backs you're at. I'm like, Adam, I know he just went off for 37 rushes. But Adrian Peterson, second half of the year, he's going to completely slide down. And with the list of guys that you have, I would never have him crack my starting lineup. Find a guy with a receiver that you can sell high in Adrian Peterson right now and buy low. I'm like, hey, try the Amari Cooper owner. Maybe you can get him, even though he had a blow-up week a couple weeks ago. But I'm like, eh, you're probably not going to get Amari Cooper. Text me 2 minutes later. All right, this guy's willing to take AP for Mike Evans. I said, do that now. Do not care about the suspension. Do that immediately. This is just classic fantasy football. Maybe you end up losing it. Probably not. We saw what happened Thursday. Maybe you end up losing the trade overall, but you have to make that move if you're able to sell high on an old running back like Adrian Peterson and buy low on a stud receiver.
Oh, gosh. I mean, without a doubt, that's what you have to do. And look, you mentioned it, right? I mean, it's running backs every single year, this time of year. People are hurting. They're trying to find the next guy that's going to carry them over. They're looking for that solid RB2.
And the when guy's you get a guy, fighting to make the playoffs, doesn't want to deal with the Evans suspension.
Bingo. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's where you look to capitalize. And people need running backs. So if you have a plethora of running backs and you got some of those guys like Adrian Peterson sitting at the bottom end of your bench, or guys like we'll talk about later on today, Bilal Powell, Matt Forte, guys like that, I mean, ship them off if they're your RB3, 4, and 5 and upgrade at the wide receiver tight end position.
Just a little lesson, a quick reminder if you have not approached your trade deadline yet. Now, big news that doesn't involve an injury, but a player that's going to be out for quite some time, Ezekiel Elliott. He's going to miss at least 4 games. His next court date is not until December 1st. The full suspension would be 6 games, and that would take us into the fantasy football playoffs, Jack. Since week 4, Zeke is averaging 127 rushing yards per game, been an absolute monster. This really, really hurts Zeke owners because we've seen all these premier players go down to injuries, but now you have something off the field that takes Zeke out at least a month.
Yeah, at least a month, right? And you look at this situation, and look, I mean, fantasy owners that have had Zeke, it's hard to complain to this point because you're probably sitting in a position where you're already a leg up on the rest of the competition and looking at making the playoffs. But now, I mean, this was the other side of it, was that if he ended up getting suspended, you were going to be missing him for the fantasy playoffs. There's an outside hope and chance that if he does serve all 6 games, that he'll be back for week 16 against Seattle for the fantasy championship. But gosh, I mean, even then, do you feel comfortable? Are you just going to slot him in after 6 weeks of no practicing and no touch point with the team? That's a little nerve wracking.
That's brutal, man. So a lot of Zeke owners, if he serves the full 6 games, a lot of Zeke owners they might be one and done or knocked out in the semis. And if you had Elliott, you would have been in there. And I've been thinking about it the last few weeks as this has been stretched out again and again and again. I wanted him to serve that suspension because I thought he was going to serve it at one point, get it over with before the fantasy football playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking back now, hindsight, I mean, I would have been wanting the exact same thing. Just serve the suspension early in the season. Be there for me as a selfish fantasy owner when I need you most. Hopefully I could at least split the difference early in the season and go 3-3 during those first 6 weeks or whatever the case may be. But at this point in time, I mean, you're looking at Alfred Morris. I think, you know, Rod Smith is the sneaky stash at this point in time. The one guy that probably could fill the role in totality. Not going to be Zeke Elliott, obviously, but a guy that can do pass receiving work and still get the ball in the run game too. So I think he's a sneaky stash. Other than that, at this point in time, you know, there's just no way that you're going to replace Ezekiel Elliott. He was the best running back in the game right now outside of Todd Gurley.
All right, before we get to all the matchups, we'll get to our sleepers later on in the hour, not the ones. We'll do that in about 10, 15 minutes from right now. Did want to get into another quick topic. And by the way, I know you guys are busy on Sunday morning. Some of you have kids. You're running around. You're going to church, running some errands, running to the store. So you can't catch the entire show. So if you want to listen to the entire show, we get it podcasted in commercial-free version of it. And we tweet that out, I don't know, about 9:30, 10 o'clock in that range. So it gives you a couple hours to check out what you missed. Follow us on Twitter at Chicago's FFT670. We tweet out the link there. If you don't do Twitter, you can just do a quick search, and you'll still be able to click on the link and find it there at Chicago's FFT670. So I was thinking about this yesterday, Jack. Sitting here in week 10, we have a 9-game sample size. So you would think after more than a couple of months into the season that you can look down your lineup and see green, okay, that's a good matchup, red, ooh, stay away from that matchup, and it's fairly easy if you don't have a lot of time to spend to invest in picking out who you should start and sit. And, of course, you listen to this show, right?
Of course.
Of course. here's the thing. That doesn't always work, even with a large sample size of the majority of the season. And I thought about this yesterday as I was going over some of the matchups doing my research. And I have a couple examples here. First, let's talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. We know that's a premier defense, arguably the best in football. Now, early in the season, they really struggled against the run. Okay? You know, with Jalen Ramsey out there, you can't pass against them. All the numbers point and say that they are the best pass defense. They've taken over Denver as the best pass defense in the NFL. So you can
stifling.
Run. Yeah, so you could run on them early. Now, if you were to take a look at the last 5 weeks, whoa. They are best in the NFL
yes.
against the run. So have they figured that out? Bad against the run early. Of late, great against the run. Just an overall great defense. My argument is not necessarily, though. And this is why you have to dig a little deep. You take a look at how game flow goes. What's been going on in these games? The Jaguars have been winning. Lately, it's not win one, lose one, like it was earlier in the year. And over those last 5 weeks, there's a bye in there, so you have 4 games, and there's only one loss. And in their 3 wins, they won by 21, 27, and 16 points last week. So you're talking about wins of 2, 3, even four scores. So what's happening with the opponent? The opponent isn't running. They're trying to get back in the game by passing the football. So I'm not going to jump all the way to the other side and say all of a sudden the Jaguars are now a great run defense. Teams just haven't been running against them lately.
Yeah, I think you make a great point just about digging deep, because then you go even a step further. If we talk about Jacksonville as the example right now, take a step further and say, oh, what did they do right at the trade deadline? It was probably one of the most impactful moves outside of Dwayne Brown, left tackle, going to Seattle, which was acquiring Marcell Dareus, the giant nose tackle from the Buffalo Bills, for a sixth-round pick. And that's another one of those situations where you talk about digging a little bit deeper. Game flow has definitely, you know, caused other teams not to be able to run the ball as much. But then you look in a step further, too, and you say, well, geez, they did acquire one of the best run-stuffing nose tackles in the NFL, a 340-pound monster in Marcell Dareus. And so how is that going to improve that defensive line that much more? So it is a piece of puzzle where you start to look at things. You say, you know what, as the season changes, as things go on, as trades are moved, as starters get injured, as starters get benched and more guys come in. I mean, this is a reason why you can't just look at the green or red tag next to a name on a particular site thinking whether I got a good matchup or bad matchup. You got to dig deeper.
And I was also thinking about this. Here's another perfect example. We talk about it all the time. A lot of fantasy football analysts talk about this all the time. What you want in your running back, whether it's on your team for season long or you're looking around in daily fantasy about who you want to use, you're looking for running backs at home, running backs that are favored. Historically, that's how it works out. If you're a heavy home favorite, most likely you're going to get ahead at some point. That's the idea here. I mean, anything can happen in the NFL. You get ahead, and then you run the football. You rack up fantasy points, especially in the second half of a game. So you would think the Cleveland Browns, one of the worst teams in the NFL, every week they are big underdogs, and they deserve to be big underdogs. This week they are on the road at Detroit. Lions don't have a run game. We'll talk about that coming up. But in most weeks, you would think, oh, great. My running back is going against the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
The Browns absolutely stink. Heavy favorite. Sometimes at home. Dig deeper. Not necessarily the case. When you pull up all the numbers, fantasy points against, what's been going on the last 5 weeks, go to Football Outsiders, DVOA against running backs. The Cleveland Browns are the best against the run,
according to
Football Outsiders, which I think they do a great job on that site. Isn't that amazing? In situations where they fall behind a ton and the opponents are looking to run the football, the Browns are the best against the run, according to some metrics.
Yeah, right. 2.9 yards per carry average. They're stymieing the run, to your point. And, you know, it just talks to how bad they are from a pass defense perspective.
Yeah.
You know, so again, talk about digging deeper. You know, logically, you would think, hey, Browns, my running back, It's actually the opposite side of the equation. We start to really dig deeper and say, wow, one, it's shocking that the Browns are the best run defense in football, depending on what metrics you look at. And, oh, by the way, two, they're a true pass funnel defense, so I should be thinking about taking advantage of that, because the onslaught on the Cleveland Browns comes through the air. And to your point, we'll get in that a little bit later with Detroit.
You got Chicago's Fantasy Football Today. My name is Joe Ostrowski, along with Jack Thomason, here with you 8 to 9 a.m. every Sunday morning, getting you set for the week in fantasy football in the NFL. It's a fun week, but scoring has been down a lot. I don't know if you've noticed in your leagues that just compared to other seasons, and that's because I think it's because of, one, you have poor quarterback play, and two, just the elite players, Odell Beckham, David Johnson, go up and down the list, the top players in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, all going down.
Yeah, it's been rough so far. I mean, I was looking at some stats, just taking a peek at average points per game this year in comparison to average points per game over the last handful of years. And right now, through 9 weeks, the NFL is averaging 21.9 points per game. And you have to go back to 2009 to find a season as low as this, where they were averaging 21.5 points per game. So I think part of it is, to your point, the situation in which you look at with, you know, major players that have already been injured this year, and the long laundry list of injured reserve players. I think the other half of that equation, too, is as the practice schedules change and these teams don't really get into a flow of things until midseason. But I think overall, I mean, especially the impact on wide receivers, is the scoring has been down from a fantasy perspective.
All right, Jack, before we get to Not the Ones in about 5 minutes, let's roll through some texts here. Some questions that people have. They are texting in at 67011. You can tweet us at Chicago's FFT 670. From the 847, Darkwa or Shepherd of the Giants for flex in his PPR league? Ooh, we like both, don't we?
Oh, yeah. I'm in love with both. So if it's PPR, I'll go with Shepherd just simply because of the fact that he saw 9 targets. He was second on the team last week to Evan Engram. Those are really only two passing weapons for Eli Manning. So PPR, I'll take Shepherd.
Yeah, that's a really good question. That is a toss-up. I like both plays there. Another texter, Duke Johnson or Devin Funchess?
Ooh. If it's PPR, I would take Devin Funchess, but if not, I'll take the running back and Duke Johnson.
You know, I don't know why Duke Johnson's not getting on the field more. What's interesting with that Browns offense is they trail a lot. Duke Johnson's lining up at wide receiver sometimes, and you would think he's racking up. Well, he's racking up in points when he's on the field. He just can't get on the field consistently.
Yeah, and you know, the other, you know, just having talked about the funnel defenses a moment ago and digging deeper, you know, interesting thing, you look at Football Outsiders, DVOA, Miami's actually 5th in rush rank in DVOA, but 30th against the pass. So it's another situation where, you know, Devin Funchess gets a plus, especially in a PPR league.
All right, coming up next, Not the Ones. You haven't heard that segment before. What we do is we go over the top plays of the day, guys that are not ranked in your top 12 in quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end, but they could still just have an absolute blow-up day where they are the QB1, RB1, wide receiver 1, or tight end number 1 on the day. That's coming up next. Chicago's Fantasy Football Today is presented by Great Clips. It's going to be great. You've got the score.
It's time for Not the Ones with Joe Ostrowski and Jack Thomason on Chicago's Fantasy Football Today.
Each of us give you a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end that could end up being the number one scorer at their given position. You know what? Jack, I almost called you Zach. I don't know why. Jack, let's try this. It is close. Let's try this.
It's close. One letter.
So later on in Sleepers, which I'm really looking forward to, we just kind of did it organically last week. People in this business like to use that word. where you guys were pitted against each other. You guys were battling, a little crossfire action. Well, I got this sleeper, you got that sleeper, and I decided who was the winner. But people can tell us who wins the Not the Ones on text at 67011 or on Twitter at Chicago's FFT 670. Let us know who won. Just say Joe or Jack at Chicago's FFT 670. Quarterback, I'll let you go first.
All right, man. I'm going with Josh McCown and the New York Jets. You look at Tampa Bay, the 31st in pass DVOA from Football Outsiders. They've allowed 7 of the last 9 quarterbacks to have top 12 games. McCown, by the way, Josh McCown is top 8 quarterback in 3 of his last 4. The Bucs are last in sacks and QB hits. I don't think they're going to apply a lot of pressure. Yeah, they get Brent Grimes, but Josh McCown is set up to have a really nice day, and all weapons are on board with the exception of Matt Forte today.
All right, you're going Josh McCown. I'm going to Buffalo with the home underdog, the Bills, and Mr. Tyrod Taylor. Now, I've preached all season this Saints defense is for real, but sometimes there are quarterbacks that are just matchup proof, and I think Tyrod is one of those guys. He ends up rushing the ball 6.25 times per game. He's had 50-plus rushing yards twice this year, and he's a better quarterback at home. His quarterback rating on the year at home, 103.3. They are a perfect 4-0 at home, one of only 2 undefeated teams at home. It's the Bills and the Eagles, and that's the list on this season. Give me Tyrod Taylor. Who you got at running back?
I got Bilal Powell, man. I'm staying in the same game. I'm looking at that Jets offense. Matt Forte was ruled out. I had written him up as my sleeper earlier in the week, and now that's going to move right on to Bilal Powell. Bucks have allowed 566 yards rushing in their last 5 games, good for 4.72 yards per carry and 6 touchdowns. They also rank 11th worst in giving up receiving yards to running backs, too. When Matt Forte has missed a game in the last two seasons, four times, you're looking at Bilal Powell, 17 touches, 25 touches, 25 touches. And then in the last game, he had six touches and was outpacing Elijah McGuire, but then got hurt himself. So I look for Bilal Powell to have a huge workload today. Jets are 2.5-point favorites on the road. I think Powell will do some work, man.
All right, Jack, you're going to roll your eyes at this one, but I looked it up. He is not a top 12 running back. He comes in at RB15. And this guy could easily be the RB1 of the day. And he's playing down the street Field today. His name is Jordan Howard.
Oh, my. How is he not top 10?
He's number 15.
That's a first-round pick.
Yeah, and he was a bust. How many weeks for people? And people were thinking, oh, I didn't take Tariq Cohen. What was I thinking? You want me to go somewhere else? I'll go somewhere else.
Nah, give us Howard. Give us a story.
I mean, they're going to run the football. The Bears are favored by 6, okay? Have the Bears been favored by 6 over the Packers with no
air? Chicago love in this station. I love it.
Yeah,
here we go.
Why not? I mean, he fits the mold. He can easily be the RB1 of the day. If you're saying, Joe, that's garbage, Hyde is in a good spot. I like Carlos Hyde, too. But yes, he actually averages more fantasy points per game than Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard's going to get 2 touchdowns today. That's my not the one. Wide receiver,
like
Jack.
It. I'm going with Devin Funchess. We talked about it earlier. We talked about that situation with Miami. They are a pass funnel defense. They are 30th in pass DVOA when you look at Football Outsiders. They have been getting rocked left and right on outside wide receivers. Devin Funchess plays on the outside. He'll also slide into the slot. He saw a team leading 7 targets last week from the receiver position, caught 5 balls for 86 yards. I mean, with no Greg Olsen, it's all about Devin Funchess and it's all about Christian McCaffrey in this Panthers offense that is starting to look good. Now that Cam Newton's running the ball, Devin Funchess is my guy.
All right, at wide out, I will go with the wide receiver 17. The Lions going up against the Browns. We said the Lions will have to pass because the Browns actually have a really good run defense. I'm going with Golden Tate. The Lions have the second highest team total on the day. Vegas expecting them to score around 27 points. And at home, Tate's targets have been 8, 8, 11, and 12. Tate only has 2 touchdowns on the year. I actually think that's a good thing as far as regression. Oh, he's going to start to get into the end zone pretty soon. I'll go with Golden Tate. Who's your tight end?
I'm going with Kyle Rudolph. When you look at the Washington Redskins, they are allowing the most points to tight ends in the NFL. They've allowed the most yardage to tight ends in the NFL with 637 yards. Kyle Rudolph leads the Vikings in red zone targets with 8. He also leads the Vikings with targets inside the 10-yard line with 3. We know Kyle Rudolph can do damage once he gets down in the red zone and he's heavily targeted. So guess what? Kyle Rudolph. It's a tough one. It's a long shot, but he grabs 2 touchdowns today and goes for 50 yards and ends up the top tight end.
Rudolph's a good play. Coming into the year, thought he'd have a much better season than he's had so far. Who thought the Vikings would be 6-2 and Kyle Rudolph not doing much at all? And with Case Keenum under center, that's absolutely crazy. Maybe Teddy Bridgewater at some point. We'll talk about that before we get out of here. All right, my tight end is surprisingly not a top 12 tight end as far as fantasy points per week. It's Austin Seferian Jenkins.
There we go.
It's a sneaky shootout game between the Jets and the Bucks. Both a couple of bad offenses down there. According to Pro Football Focus, the number one tight end matchup, and it's not close, is ASJ, and Gronk is a distant second. I think that game goes pass on both sides. You took McCown as your quarterback. I think Fitzpatrick is a decent play today, too, if you're looking for a quarterback. If your quarterback got injured, you're dealing with a guy in a bye, you can go there, too. But I will go with ASJ. So my not the ones, Tyrod Taylor, Jordan Howard, Golden Tate, Austin Seferian Jenkins, Jack went with McCown, Powell, Thielen, and Rudolph. Let us know who won. Text messages 67011, Twitter at Chicago's FFT 670. You think you won, Jack?
No. No,
I won?
Definitely not. Yeah, I think you won.
Okay. I'm giving it to Jack because of the course. Jordan Howard thing.
There you go. I looked it up. I gave you another option. I said Hyde against the Giants.
No, those guys, I mean, Hyde and Howard are in smash spots. I love both of those guys. And Golden Tate's a fan. I mean, that's another game, Matt Stafford with Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. And we'll talk about Ebron later, too. I'll give it to you just because of those two plays.
Oh, well, thank you. you know who I've heard a lot about, and overall, a guy that has had a great season, but for some reason this week, after blowing up, I've heard more complaints about T.Y. Hilton than any other fantasy football player out there. People are so concerned, and now he's going back to having a tough matchup. When he has an easy matchup, he goes off, and he gets you a victory. But owners, I'm not an owner of him, but T.Y. Hilton owners are very ticked off because, well, it's a good thing he won the week for you, likely, but it's a bad thing they're expecting nothing against the Steelers today.
Yeah, and now he's dealing with a groin injury, which makes it all the worse. But I think this goes back to the original topic we were talking about digging deeper. T.Y. Hilton right now, without Andrew Luck, is a matchup-dependent wide receiver. Yeah, we know he's uber-talented. Yes, we know he's one of the best wide receivers in the game when healthy and with his original quarterback. But right now, the offense looks a little bit different with Jacoby Brissett. Jack Doyle is his man. That's who he's targeting heavily. And, only in those good matchups is T.Y. worth a start right now. Is what it is.
Yeah. This coming out this morning, Ian Rappaport reporting, and there's not much news today, so we haven't gotten into the news. His big report is, barring a catastrophic event, the Giants have no plans of benching Eli Manning. Okay. Whoop-de-doo. I could have told you that. I mean, we're going there. If we move ahead in time a year and they have Sam Darnold, maybe they draft a high quarterback, something like that, then that's a real conversation. That is not a conversation right now, especially when you're in a great position at the 49ers, a winless team. I don't even understand. Yeah, Eli's looked bad. Eli's looked bad at times for the last couple of years. He just has weeks where he just doesn't look like he's NFL caliber at times. But you're going to bench Eli Manning. I'm not a fan of his as far as going into the Hall of Fame, but he's going to go into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You're going to bench him for Davis Webb or Geno Smith?
Yeah, right.
Come on.
For who? I mean, we've already seen what Geno Smith is in the NFL. Davis Webb is a project. I mean, give me a break with this nonsense. The interesting part is I think talking about that game in general today, the Giants and the 49ers, there are so many Giants players alike from a sleeper perspective that are not getting a lot of love. I think the one interesting tidbit worth talking about here is the fact that Ben McAdoo is a huge piece of the puzzle why this conversation is even out there about Eli Manning. And a lot of the team seems like they're just quitting on him. They got steamrolled by the Rams, and they look like they weren't even playing anymore. So it'll be interesting to see in a smash spot for a lot of these Giant players this week against the 49ers, do they come out ready to play? Is it for pride only and ego, or are they just going to continue to basically to boycott Ben McAdoo and try and get him fired before season's end?
This jumps out to me because I was just talking about Tyrod Taylor, and this matters to you if you have Buffalo Bills. All week, it's been Saints -3 on the road, right? They've won 6 games in a row. People love what they're doing. The line has moved to 2. For it to go off of 3 and to move to 2, that means this morning there is an insane amount of money coming in on the Bills. It is absolutely insane. Sharps, public, everyone. I'm in the Super Contest, which has 2,700 people in it. You pick 5 games per week, and I was shocked to see yesterday that by far the most popular pick was the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That is a huge move, and on the line itself, big money came in this morning on the Buffalo Bills. I wasn't quite sure why the Saints on the road were favored by 3.
They won six straight.
Yeah. I get it, but shoot, I mean the Bills up until they got blown out last week by the Jets, but that's a divisional game. That's a different story. It was a short week. You can make up excuses, but the Bills have been one of the best teams in football up until last week. So I found that shocking to begin with, and I would take the Bills all day long.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shady McCoy, bounce back.
Yes, people are going to be worried because of what happened last week on Thursday, and he gets the extra rest, and the Saints aren't the best matchup, but I mentioned that I like Tyrod Taylor. Shady McCoy, you play him if you have him anyways,
right?
But he could be easily one of the top running backs.
Oh, for sure. And you look at, if you look at the Saints defense, they have been excellent. But you look a little bit deeper, keep that as a theme of the show, they've actually been a run funnel defense. They're 27th DVOA when you start looking at rush defense, and they're within the top 7 or 10, look at it from a pass defense perspective. So I think Shady gets a lot of work. You'll see a lot of dump offs. Tyrod's getting his guy back and Charles Clay. That's helpful. I think the Bills are in good position.
Some other notes this morning, not huge news, but Dez Bryant, he's been questionable this week with the ankle and the knee. He's expected to play against the Falcons. A nice spot there. That could be the highest scoring game of the day in the Dome. It's got one of the highest totals. Interesting there to see the Cowboys as 3-point underdogs on the road, but they don't have Zeke Elliott. And Emmanuel Sanders expected to play. He's been dealing with an ankle, been listed questionable all week, going up against the Patriots tonight.
Yeah, I like Devontae Freeman, too. I feel like he's another one that's disappointed a lot of people over the last month. But at home, you know, you were texting me a stat yesterday just about NFL yards per play, and Atlanta leads the league still in yards per play, but they haven't been efficient in the red zone.
Right.
This is a really good spot for Devontae Freeman if you're thinking about daily fantasy football. Extremely underpriced when you look at 6,500 on FanDuel specifically. I think this could be an excellent spot for him, and he could sneak back in the end zone and total over 100 yards in this game.
Yeah, what are the Falcons 4-4, I believe, on the season. They're in a desperate spot going back at home. They have to win today. So it just might be one of the weeks where everything comes together. And I know people rip Steve Sarkisian, and he should be rich. You had a big downgrade with Kyle Shanahan taking the job with the 49ers. But I think one of these weeks, everything's going to come together, and that Falcons team is going to explode for 40 to 50 points.
I mean, we know they got the offense to do it. You know, we saw it last year. Personnel hasn't changed. So it really is only a matter of time before they start gelling and clicking. And when Sarkisian gets out of his own way and starts feeding his best players, we've seen by 2 targets per game, we've seen Julio Jones over the last 4 weeks bump up his targets per game. And, so Sarkisian's moving in the right direction there. And then again, over the last 4 weeks, yeah, Devonta Freeman's been a little banged up, but he's back to clearly out-touching Tevin Coleman. I think the touch is around 17 per game for Freeman and 9 for Tevin Coleman right now. So it's going to get going, and this might be the week to do it.
Couple quick text messages, 773, Demaryius Thomas or T.Y. Hilton?
Ooh, I'm going with Demaryius all day. The Patriots typically have Demaryius Thomas's number, but with Brock Osweiler under center, Thomas is targeted heavily. He's seen over 35% of the target share from Brock Osweiler. I think Stephon Gilmore would definitely line up against him and play big body against big body, but I'm taking him over T.Y. all day long.
I got to tell you, if you're benching T.Y., you're a better man than me. I can't do that. I can't. But it could be one or the other. Maybe they're in a shallow league. 414. Rivers or Mariota? Both are in bad spots here. I am not playing Rivers at Jacksonville. I'm not.
No, I'm not either. I think they are both in bad spots. Cincinnati is a top 6 pass defense, according to Football Outsiders DVOA. You look at that situation, it's not great, but at least he's got legs that he could do something with if need be. Rivers is going to be a sitting duck behind that offensive line, and Jacksonville, with that pass defense and that pressure, I don't want any part of Rivers today.
This segment on The Score is brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Attention business owners, effective cash management is key to your company's success, but you're being overcharged when it comes to bank fees. Lakeside Bank will save you money. Call Matt Pomisano at 312-763-6660. Join Lakeside and start saving now. Lakeside Bank, it's about time. Coming up next on Chicago's Fantasy Football Today, we welcome in the 2017 Score Fantasy Football expert, Steven Johnson. And he battles with Jack on the sleepers, your top sleepers of the day. Maybe you're dealing with injuries, bye weeks. The guys will help you out next on The Score.
You're listening to Chicago's Fantasy Football Today with Joe Ostrowski and Jack Thomason on 670 The Score.
This time every week, we welcome in Steven Johnson, the 2017 Score Fantasy Football Expert. Follow him on Twitter at Steven with a PH underscore Roto. What's up, Steven?
Not much. Ready to get going. It's been a long weekend. I'm up. I'm ready to go. Talk some football. I'm ready for today. Bears Packers. All set.
I'm a little disappointed because this is usually the time every week where Jack just yells at you about what you wrote up on 670thescore.com on Thursday.
Hey, I came through last week unscathed for the most part, so I'm okay.
Yeah, good.
I'm okay.
Good.
Well, I'm taking a gander at some of your start and sits this week, and your sits I don't disagree with. We mentioned last segment you don't play Phillip Rivers at Jacksonville. Amir Abdullah, not really a play. The Lions don't have a run game, and Cleveland is a shutdown run defense. Kelvin Benjamin, still new to that offense. I get that. Same with Jason Witten at the Falcons. He hasn't been the dependable PPR monster he has in the past. So I actually agree with all your sits. So no argument there. Here's what I find most interesting, and Jack, you chime in if you have something for us. Your start at receiver, you went with Jarvis Landry.
I did.
Okay, explain.
So the matchup in general is what I'm looking at here. And overall, the way that you've seen Carolina be able to rush the quarterback, and Jay Cutler, we know, isn't the greatest under pressure. He's going to have to look to the dump off quite often here. You look at what he had last week with Williams and how, and even Drake. Again, that whole running back game there, but also in the slot, looking at Landry, he's going up against Captain Munnerlyn this weekend, who's allowing 75% of his targets thrown in coverage to be caught, which is an absurd percentage. It's top 10 in the league among all corners, and I think that's going to be a big thing for Landry here today.
What do you think, Jack, about that, Landry? But what I did notice, and the stats would show you if you weren't watching the game, wow, Cutler had a really good game, over 300 yards, high completion percentage, everything close to the line of scrimmage, which does set up for Landry.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the call. I think the other part about it, too, is if you look back to last week's situation, Devontae Parker caught two balls on the last drive at the end of the game that inflated his stats, which has kind of been his MO throughout the season and the games he has played. But he also looked like he was still hampered and hobbled a little bit by that high ankle sprain. So I think Landry is going to be the target monster here. I think the other interesting call out, just because tight end is so difficult to deal with on a week-to-week basis, but Julius Thomas, he looked pretty good last week and was heavily targeted by Jay Cutler. It's just something to keep an eye out on.
And Jack, I know this by our conversations off the air. During Not the Ones, we gave out Austin Seferian Jenkins and Kyle Rudolph, but I agree 100% with Steven's start here. Cameron Brate could be a monster today.
Mike Evans being out, I mean, that hit last week on Marshawn Lattimore. Oh, but anyway, Cameron Brate, again, someone's got to get the catches there. There's got to be somebody for Fitzpatrick to throw to. New York allowing the seventh most points to opposing tight ends and the third most touchdowns, including five over their last five games. They've been very susceptible to tight ends, and I think he's in for a big game. He's really been one of the more dependent tight ends in the game this year. Just had a really bad week last week, one catch performance against New Orleans, but this should be a big bounce back week. I think it's going to be a big shootout game between the Bucs and the Jets today.
Yeah, I Joe, you just mentioned it too, but I love Cameron Brate today. Love Cameron Brate. I think
so. OJ Howard's going to get a touchdown.
Yeah. You know how it goes. Of course, that's the way it is, man. But you got the Harvard to Harvard connection with Fitzpatrick and Cameron Brate. I mean, they hooked up for a touchdown the last time Fitzpatrick came in. And played for Jameis Winston. You nailed it. I mean, this is one of two games that I think could be a sneaky bad team shootout: Jets, Bucks, and 49ers, Giants. But with Mike Evans out, he's going to have the additional red zone looks too. And Cameron Brate, yes, he's a tight end, but he plays a lot in the slot as well too. They move him around, and I think he's going to be a matchup problem for the Jets.
It's funny. We were talking about the scoring being down in fantasy football earlier on in the hour. You may or may have heard that. But what's funny is I'm looking at these high game totals. So you want players in these games. And the highest ones are at 48. We're not even cracking 50 anymore. The two highest, New Orleans, Buffalo, and Dallas, Atlanta. So what I want to know from you guys, and I didn't prepare you for this, but we kind of talked about it throughout the hour. If you were to eliminate those games, what game jumps out to you? I think I know where Steven's going.
Yeah.
But what game jumps out to you as a game that could just be crazy? Say we have a game where both teams end up in the low 30s, maybe one in the high 20s. Like, that's considered a crazy shootout now.
Go ahead, Steven. What do you got, man?
You know, I mentioned, again, the Jets and the Buccaneers, I'm a betting guy. The over-under's at 44 today, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm taking that over.
It's actually way up from where it was.
Right.
Which is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. You look at both of these defenses, they're struggling. I know Brent Grimes is back for Tampa, but that's not something that really sticks out to me as, okay, this guy's going to be the difference maker here. Yeah, Mike Evans is out, but still, there's enough options there. I think it's going to be a very, very high-scoring game. Somewhere, I would honestly think probably around like a 28-24. I mean, that's kind of where I'm seeing that game at.
All right.
Yeah, if I got to go, and for me, if it's, I'm going to go back to the game I've been talking a lot about today. I mean, it really depends on whether the Giants are going to show up, you know, and play for Ben McAdoo or not, but I still look at that 49ers-Giants game.
Oh, yeah.
I think offensively they can do enough, if the 49ers can do enough behind Carlos Hyde, you know, and I think, you know, CJ Beathard, he is what he is, but he's scrambling, he's running, he can move the ball, they can get some offense going, and I think a lot of it's going to have to be done behind Carlos Hyde, but I do think on the Giants side of it, I mean, when you're looking at a total of, the over under at 42, I think the Giants can score 30 points themselves, and that's saying a lot given the fact that the Giants have not been a good offensive team this year.
Which players will surprise this week?
I'm not really good at predicting the news.
Let's give you some sleepers on Chicago's Fantasy Football Today.
All right, this is where Jack and Steven battle out. Last week, Jack did win, did give him the nod here. So this week, Steven will go first. You know what? Let's mix it up. Let's go to running back first.
Going to running back? All right, we're going to go with the guy taking over down in Dallas, Alfred Morris, going up against the Falcons. In the limited number of touches Morris has received this year, 14 carries, 116 yards. He's not going to sustain that 8 yards a carry. Still think he has a good game. Falcons allowing the seventh most points per game to running backs this year.
All right, man, I'm staying with what I've been talking and preaching the whole darn show. We're going with Orleans Darkwa. Look at San Francisco. They're 31st in pass DVOA to running backs. They're 23rd in rush DVOA to running backs. They're 32nd in schedule-adjusted fantasy points to running backs. The 49ers have allowed 495 yards, 4.85 yards per carry, and 3 touchdowns in the last 3 games to running backs. They are brutally beat up on defense, missing both starting safeties, 3-star defensive linemen, and, by the way, traded Navarro Bowman. I think Darkwa gets off today.
Steven, you may be right about Alf, but there's still a question mark there. It may be a 50-50 split. I'm not sure.
I will
say this.
It may
be Dak stealing a rushing touchdown from you.
I will say this. I love Rod Smith as a stash coming up here in the next couple weeks.
Jack, he's trying to steal that point at the end.
Because he gets deflect and steal. Deflect and steal.
You can see I was going with Darkwa.
Yeah.
Let's go to quarterback. Jack, you go.
All right, we got Eli Manning. We're sticking right in that game. You look at San Francisco, they've allowed 5 of their last 7 quarterbacks that they faced to have top 10 fantasy finishes. And oh, by the way, the 2 quarterbacks that didn't finish in the top 10 still threw for 357 yards or multiple touchdowns in that game. Sneaky point here. San Francisco is number 1 in offensive pace, and the Giants are number 6 in offensive pace of plays run. This game could be a
so
monster
Beathard,
shootout.
Beathard is your guy.
Give me CJ Beathard. Yeah.
No. He's going Eli.
Eli Manning.
I'll go Ryan Fitzpatrick here, sticking in that Bucks-Jets matchup. Jets allowing the most passing touchdowns to quarterbacks this season with 19. New York also allowing a whopping 25.5 points to the position over the last 4 games. This is the revenge game for both quarterbacks here, but I think Fitzpatrick has a good game with the Bucks.
I like both guys. I'm going to throw both in tournaments. I'm torn. Eli, decide.
Yeah, I'm going to take, just to give Steven some love here, because you guys are hating so much, I'll take Fitzmagic.
All right.
There we go. Thank you, sir.
Let's go to receiver. Steven Johnson, it's 1-1. Who you got?
Mr. Sammy Watkins with the Rams going up against the Texans. Texans secondary continues to deteriorate against wide receivers as the season continues. Over the last 2 weeks, Houston has allowed 8 plays of 20 yards or more, 5 of which went for more than 40 yards. They've gotten burned by speedsters. Love him in DFS tournament play. 4,800 on DraftKings, 6,400 on FanDuel. I'm playing him today.
That's a tough one to argue with. I was a big fan of Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods last week, and I'm with you in this one. For me, I'm taking Mohamed Sanu from the Atlanta Falcons. He's not sexy. That's not a great name. This is a guy that doesn't get much love, but here's the story. In the last 3 weeks since returning healthy, he is seeing just under 8 targets per game. He's 15th in the NFL right now in red zone targets. He's scored a touchdown or hit 65 yards in 5 of his last 6 games, and Dallas has been shredded by number 2 wide receivers, ranking 27th in pass DVOA to number 2 receivers. I think Mohamed Sanu has a big day in what is the highest over-under of the game this week.
I'm probably going to have both guys in daily fantasy teams today, but give me Watkins over Sanu. Steven underscore Roto, your winner this week. Week 10.
Way to be, Steven.
There you go. And I know Jack doesn't.
We'll see how the stats fall out this time.
We were going back and forth yesterday, and Jack talked me out of Cup and into Watkins, so I know he's a fan of Watkins as well.
Big time. And Eric Ebron at tight end, guys. Eric Ebron. We got to do the weekly tight end shout out.
All right. You got Ebron? You hit it last
Ebron.
Week.
Yeah.
We were making fun of you going off the air, and you hit your tight end spot last week.
That's it, man. If there's ever a spot, Ebron's a spot this week against Cleveland.
All right, the sleepers, Fitz and Eli, Alf and Darkwa at running back, at receiver, Watkins and Sanu. We thank you for giving us your time every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. If you missed any of the show, we will tweet out the full link, commercial free, at Chicago's FFT 670. I will retweet it. I'm at Joe0670. We will talk to you next Sunday morning on Chicago's Fantasy Football Today, right here on The Score, presented by Great Clips. It's going to be great.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Fantasy Football Today, presented by Great Clips. It's going to be great. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Chicago's FFT670.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.